This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. It is Sunday, August the 15th. That is a date which has lived in infamy. Of course, that is the anniversary, 50th anniversary of Nixon, temporarily, as they say, closing the gold window. So here's a new thread for you. You know how I like to have these special CEO podcasts from time to time. And to let you know where they come from, again, I've been friends with a guy by the name of Dan Amadouri for about a decade. And Dan's marketing company helps mining companies get the word out on what they're doing. Because again, there's so many of them. How can you keep track of them all? And if you, got some exciting prospects, you want people to know about it. So Dan sends me names. And from time to time, I'll see something that I'll go, yeah, you know what? This is kind of compelling. This is something I want to know more about. And that's what Star Peak Mining is. It's a company I just learned of a few days ago. I've got the CEO and chairman of the company on the line, a guy by the name of Jonathan Moore, and he's going to tell us more about the company. Jonathan, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, no problem, Craig. Thanks for having me on.
This is some exciting stuff. I like the financials. I like the chart. I like where your projects are at. I like the jurisdiction. I like the team you've got. And I thought, okay, yeah, we got to roll with this one. So, Jonathan, as we get going here, I want to talk first a little bit about the company, but the precious metals and the commodities in general, because I know you're obviously a big fan of gold in this sector. But let's just, if I could, just get your thoughts on commodities, base metals, precious metals, because again, that's a lot of what your company does.
Yes, it's on a macro level. Gold is the driving force, call it fortunately or unfortunately, for mining stocks. And we've seen a massive printing press of dollars coming out of the U.S. government. And let's take it a step further. Also around the globe, every country is doing the same thing.
Yep.
And really, I think we're a little bit surprised at the performance of gold over the last 6-7 months, as we've, seen some peaks during COVID, and it slid from a 2200 level down to, the 1700s. And it's been frustrating. I'll be the first to admit, I scratch my head on a daily basis, just wondering how this is possible. But we have more stimulus coming. We have these infrastructure plans from the Fed. The printing press isn't stopping, and it's just it's getting out of control. So based on that, we are really looking forward to the tail end of this year for gold and silver. I call it, we're in the second inning of the baseball game. We still have a lot of play left, and hopefully there's going to be some good times ahead.
And your company, again, in that belief, and you believe that, and I think as a lot of folks on this site, myself included, think that way, your company, you've been positioning it in that regard too, because it's not just gold. You've got base metals at Star Peak as well.
Yeah, correct. That's a really important fact to really look at, because, there's a saying, it's sometimes better to be lucky than smart. And when we first went into this venture, we went into an area which it's the most prolific area of mining and gold mining, for that matter, in Canada. It's called the Abitibi Greenstone Belt in Quebec. Majors all over the place, big discoveries, big facilities, mines. It's created the history of the Canadian mining landscape. And we followed suit, because the best place to find a discovery is next to other discoveries.
Right.
And there's a saying that these big discoveries, they're not orphans. There's always brothers nearby, and that's kind of a term that geologists always use. But we were really aggressive and acquired a big parcel of land next to a recent discovery. It was a gold discovery, and it was a company called Amex Exploration. They've huge success, still doing well, drilling, building up a big resource. And we also took it a step further, and we purchased a past producing mine called the Normatal Mine, which was a big producer of base metals. back in the 1900s, and they stopped production in the 1980s when base metal prices, you know, dropped, and they just shut it down. So we drilled. We were actually looking. So I get to this luck thing I was just mentioning, and you know, we were looking for gold, and always looking for something better. And voila, first, you know, couple big hits we hit. We had this massive base metals discovery with zinc, copper, silver, gold. It was just it was mind blowing. And of course, when you can do that, especially in this environment in Canada, where the infrastructure is good, everything, the pro mining, I mean, everything is in your favor, you get noticed. And and it's been a really fun last 11, 12 months. Exceptionally fun.
Well, again, that's Quebec, right? Abitibi?
That is correct.
All right. In my calls, I don't know if you've ever listened to it. I know everyone on the site is that when I used to do the weekly calls with Eric Sprott, man, he was talking about the Abitibi all the time. And I'm reminded of, what's the old, who was it? The bank robber. And they said, why you rob the banks? He says, that's where the money's at. Right? Well, why do you go to the Abitibi? Because that's where the gold's at, for crying out loud. So I know you've got a couple of gold resources you're excited about. And that base metal camp, certainly interesting as well. Tell everybody, though, a little bit about what you've done there. You call it New Metal, or what is it, Perron?
The Perron property is the one that Amex is on.
And, okay, that's where Amex is at.
Yeah, so they're drilling. It's now within a kilometer of our boundary line, heading towards us, all on trend, on strike. And, you know, the reason why they all went there to begin with, so Amex went to this area, obviously before everybody, but this past producing Normetal mine, which is the one we actually acquired, they went to this area because of that past producing mine. There was always, there's a, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire type scenario. And, yep. And so we, you know, we're about 2 years behind Amex in terms of how they drilled, made their discovery. We started drilling and we hit, and fast forward, I mean, we're now, we've started with a 5,000 meter drill program. We just announced this week, it's been bumped up to 60,000 meters.
Nice.
We've got tons of money in the bank, institutions coming at us and, you know, giving us money. A lot of the same institutions that are the big shareholders of Amex are, you know, they're in our camp now. The drills are not going to stop. I mean, the way you work these things is, you know, we're exploration in nature, and all you're trying to do is just prove this asset up as big as you possibly can make it. And the only way to do that is by drilling. So we currently have three drill rigs active and running. And, you know, this base metal scenario of us, it's called the VMS system, which is rather unique. It's a rarity. There's not very many VMS style deposits in Canada or globally for that matter. VMS stands for volcanogenic massive sulfides. So as the name, as volcanoes in the name, it was formed through flows and liquids coming up through volcanoes, you know, back in the early times. And the reason these are substantial is they're very rich in base metals, such as copper, zinc, lead, and they also have precious metals being gold and silver. And they're known for long-term production because they're formed in clusters. So all the big rich metals and deposit is all found closely knitted together in these kind of clusters, and it's very easy to get at. The other thing that's really interesting is why people jump at these is that the cost profile for a mining company is so good, because there's multiple metals. You're not just dealing with a gold asset for a gold company or a silver, right, or a silver company. You have all of them, and you get credits for all of these as you process the rock and go into production. To show you how rare it is, there's only 350 known VMS deposits in Canada and 800 known worldwide. So, you know, that's to be able to say that you found one and you're, yep, building one, I'm very proud of that. And historically in Canada alone, VMS deposits count for 27% of the total copper production, 49% of all the zinc production, and 40% of all the silver production in Canada. So you can see these things are a big, big part of the Canadian mining game.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you want to highlight some of your specific results you've had so far?
Yeah. I mean, we had a news out this morning, earlier in the week of some really, really high zinc numbers also associated with some high grade copper. Give you a couple examples. One of the holes, 19 meters of 6% zinc, which included about a 1% copper hit. We also had about a 4.45 meter interception of 3.16% copper. So I'll kind of give you the scenario, but the more we're drilling and the deeper we're going, the numbers in copper get higher and higher and higher. So this is a really interesting phenomenon because, as we know, copper is a very valuable thing right now.
Yeah.
Our initial drill hole was 12 meters of 23.82% zinc. Just numbers which, I can't tell you who it was, but we have also, in very early stages of, the drilling, going back 6 months ago, two majors have actually already made out and contacted us because A, it's VMS and every one of them is interested in VMS.
Yep.
And two, the results are, to a point where it definitely creates a big interest immediately. So I've been very fortunate with that. And as I said earlier, the drilling will not stop. We're fully funded. And every minute of the day, you wake up, the drills are going. You go to bed, the drills are going. It doesn't stop. So I think it's clear that when you have constant drilling going on, that equates to constant drill results. And the only way to move value of a company higher is to produce results. So it's there's a lot going on in the Starpeak camp.
And as you prove it out, Jonathan, which direction do you think you go? I mean, eventually the company just becomes so attractive to either your next door neighbor or some of these other companies that you end up just getting merged and bought out. Or do you think eventually you might take it on your own? Start producing?
What, yeah, do you think? That's an interesting, I'm going to touch on that. But I mean, so just moving back to where we purchased, sure, that past producing mine, the Northern Tall mine, they produced 10.1 million tons of high grade copper, zinc, gold, and silver. Okay. And what we're seeing is we're only drilling 600 meters away from that structure. All right. We own it and we have all the data from it, the drill logs, and we've modeled it. And what we're seeing from our current results, we've hit on 96% of every drill hole we put in, we've hit massive sulfides on, which is huge. That's a big number. Very proud of it. And we're seeing that the similarities of depths and thicknesses and zones that we are drilling on our current structure is matching up with what they have 600 or 700 meters away on the past producing mine. So we believe that potentially this is a mirror type deposit where it's actually what we saw, what they had, we're going to have. And listen, with modern technology, with probes, you put down holes. These probes are amazing. You drill a hole and you put these instruments down, and then they send back these conductivity zones. So basically where it lights up, that's going to be mineralization. And then you target the drilling into these zones so precise that we're hitting them within like a meter of, that wasn't available back in the, 1960s, 70s and 80s. But the majors now don't do this. The majors don't have any exploration. Okay. They rely on companies like us to do it for them. Mm-hmm. And if I said to you that, we're going to become the next big zinc, copper, gold, silver producer, we're so excited, we're going to build up, that would scare the crap out of me, because you stick to what you're good at. And right, more times than not in this game, and I look at it from my personal investments and other mining companies, if I ever see a junior that decides that they want to now become a major producer, I sell everything, because it's too much risk. And you leave that heavy lifting for the majors that have the infrastructure in place, mm-hmm, the mines, the money, everything that they, that's their game. And there's a reason why they're majors, because they're good at it. Mm-hmm. So we will develop this asset to a point where we just keep drilling it. And all I can tell you is the more we drill, the more expensive we become, because we keep proving up the asset.
Right.
You can grow these VMS deposits very quickly, because like I said, with a success rate like that, we're pinpointing, we're drilling very smart. Okay. We're not wasting any meterage here. So that would be the ultimate. Would be you just prove it up, you get it to a nice level, you do the feasibilities on it, you do the economics, and then you just put it on a silver platter, put a bow on it, and just, you know, you hand it off to a major, and that's the exit. That's you stick to what you're good at, and that's what we're good at.
And if we're right about base metals, industrial metals, precious metals, and the direction and the commodity bull market, not only do your results prove it up and make it more valuable every day, the price makes it more, the underlying makes it more valuable every day too. So the key, I would think, and this is all part of what got me excited, is being able to continue to drill, continue to prove more. That's a function of how much cash you have. And so, you know, and then the attractiveness to an investor is a function of your market cap. So let's tell us about your financials.
So we've been very strategic in financing this company along the way. I hate dilution. All right. I really don't like, cheap financings, big amounts. I mean, it's great to have money in your bank, but it has to be on the right terms.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been really good at this, and 39 million shares outstanding, which is nothing. And we have about 7 million Canadian in the bank. I'm using Canadian figures because we're spending Canadian dollars. I call it sometimes the Canadian peso because it's that's a whole nother conversation. But that lasts me a long time up in this neck of the woods because it's very pro-mining. All the services are there. All the infrastructure is in place. The government is very pro-mining in terms of taxation and credits. And, you know, we're drilling right now, I think, $190 Canadian a meter all in, and that's including lab assays. I think if you were to take that down to, for instance, Brazil, well, let's just say Brazil, that number would probably be closer to $450 to $500. So the dollar goes a long way. We have no debt. Obviously, no debt. Management insiders, we own 35 to 40%, I believe. So very, very tightly held. We make money. We're going to get rich on this basically by the stock. I mean, we're not here for a paycheck. 90% of all of our money goes directly into the ground. Obviously, you have your fees with the exchange and being public and all that kind of stuff, with lawyers, accountants, and audits, whatever it might be. But we have enough money in the tank to last us, 60,000 meters that we currently increased it to this week. And then, every time I've done a financing, I've staggered it higher and higher and higher. The last one I did was at 385 Canadian. And every institution that's participated has averaged up their price from the previous financing. So it's not like they invested, say, $1.50 in my first one. They invested in 150, one at 250, one at 360, and another one at 380. So they're moving their average price up with the stock moving higher. And I love that.
Yeah.
So it's, market cap. So what do you take that into account? 39 million out, currently trading around 260 US. So we're just about 9,500 million bucks US. And, we saw how quickly Amex moved when they made their initial discovery, and that was just a gold play. I mean, they went to 350 to 400 million very, very quickly. So I think we are definitely in the early innings here.
Okay, everybody. So now you got the whole story. You can see what piqued my interest. You put all those pieces together, no doubt about it. You can go to any site on the internet and do your own research. You don't want to just take my word for it or listen to a podcast. You got to evaluate your own risk parameters, time horizons, tolerance for risk, all that kind of stuff. But you can research the company under the symbol STE in Canada. Also down in the U.S., STRPF. And of course, we'll put links on here to the Star Peak Mining website. So you can, again, check this out on your own. Jonathan, within the website or anything else, any other pages you think people should check out? They want to learn more about your company.
I think the website's comprehensive enough. I think if you look on any of the press releases, there's always a phone number at the bottom of every press release. And if you want to chat with me, just call. We take a lot of calls, but there's a lot of information out there on us, and it's easy to get a hold of us.
Yeah, which again, yeah. I mean, how many other companies can you make an investment in? You can call and even get a hold of the CEO first to kind of firm up what your thoughts are. Jonathan, I got to tell you, man, I'm so glad we got a chance to get acquainted. And I'm so glad I got to find out about Star Peak, because again, I just, this is one of those that the stars kind of align, the dots all connect and seem pretty interesting. I want to thank you for your time. I hope we can speak together again sometime soon.
Thanks for having me, Craig. And I really appreciate the time, and I'll keep you updated as we progress.
Thank you. And from all of us here at TFMR, thank you for listening. Be sure to check out Star Peak Mining.